Welcome to Starfleet Universe On-Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I went SFB Online, Dead Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just when I'll join us with Talk Guest every Thursday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone to star 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com and search for call ID 17702 or SFU On-Call or Starfleet Universe On-Call. You should be able to find us there. But of course, if you want the best online experience, what you want to go to is twitch.tv. That's twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you will find us there. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you'll follow me on the Twitters, and you can follow the podcast account at sfuoncall. Personal account, which is Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. There's no T in that. And, of course, the business account, which is Franz Games, F-R-A-N-Z-G-A-M-E-S. Next, I just created an account on Blue Sky, which is Paul P. Franz. At the moment, I need to look at that. I'm looking to possibly have a domain-specific account. So I have to look into what exactly is required to do that. Moving on more forward to news from ADB. Gene is proofreading the Orion Master Starship book. ADB in their search for a replacement for Shapeways, looks like Shapeways is back up and running to a certain degree. They're still trying to get things back in working order, but I think their parent company is cranking, starting it back up again. I'm not sure exactly what the status of that is. I just noticed there was a post on Facebook about that. We'll probably discuss it more possibly during this podcast, possibly with the next podcast, one of those two. And this week, and found on the online star, we have the Starfleet Times number 16 through 20. Again, it's only $7.95, so it's relatively cheap. On issue 16, the Origins Report, an orb scenario, and hidden agenda fiction. Cool. Issue number 17, Term Papers, Crossword, and also Klingon D5 VP SSD. Awesome. And issue number 18, the special issue dedicated to a new humorous race, the Josers. Weird. And issue number 19, the scary ships issue, which is the Paravian Dreadnought, the Zini Super Tug, Battle Tug, the Liren Triple Mauler. That'd be interesting. And Hydran Hellbore Dreadnought. And also in the last one, which is number 20, Vunar Special Part 1, the Ion Storm Generator Rules. This is before they actually were released. And of course, four new Vunar ships, which are probably already part or have been released. But that's since the bundle, you get some stuff that normally you can't get, but stuff that you can get already. That's the way it is. Moving on forward to the SFB Online Tournament, which is the Sapphire Star 18 Tournament. You know, as I mentioned last week, Sapphire closed. We have 3 out of 8 games are completed. We also have one game which is in the middle of it. Unfortunately, the game got delayed until Monday because one of the participants got COVID. So, fun. You know, they're probably going to be spending most of this weekend just resting up. Been there, done that. Prefer not to repeat. You know, things are as things are. Moving on forward to the library report, there's nothing new when it comes to either the SFB or the FedCom library. As mentioned before, the gunboats are posted. I still have to post the Andromeda one. And I also have to check to make sure all the Andromedas are posted. And I don't know what the status of those are. It's been a while since I did some initial work for them on them. So we'll just have to, I'll have to wait and see on that. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe on call. And tonight we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And I need to go like that and wipe down my iPad like I do every single year. Many times I'll actually beat myself to the punch and do that beforehand. But, it is what it is at the moment. So, actually, I had a couple quick topics that I want to discuss. I mentioned one in the news portion, and I'm just going to bring it up now. Because I went back to Facebook and read the post a little more, and I think I understand the situation a little more than I previously did. Because I just, like most people, I read the headline, but I didn't actually read, you know, read the content. And I, well, I just read the content.
That probably helps a lot.
Oh, yes, it does. It definitely helps a lot. And in this case, what it is, for those of you who, most of you probably don't know about it, so I'll just talk about it now, which is Shapeways is returning under the original Dutch-based management. I read the letter from the new CEO. Obviously, part of the issue is that everything is pretty much gone except for the name. The market... I love you. Say hello, kitty. Hello, kitty. There.
Attack of the meow.
Yep. The new marketing team has purchased all the available Shapeways IP assets, but unfortunately, the marketplace data was lost in the bankruptcy, which, in my mind, is a good thing. Any of you who've been through all this kind of rigmarole when it comes to the selling of companies in bankruptcy and all that kind of thing, one of the things that happens in bankruptcy sometimes is that your data is sold as an asset as part of the bankruptcy. So your names, addresses, email addresses, your purchase history, all of that can be sold. Obviously, in this case, it was not. It was lost in the bankruptcy, which I think is a great, great benefit for this. And that's great. Problem, all the whole marketplace software is toast. They said additionally, the technology that the marketplace ran on was outdated and not scalable. And due to this combination of factors beyond our control, the marketplace cannot be revived as previously existed, which means we have to resubmit everything. Now, the one thing I did read, which one is this? This is the marketplace update that I'm looking at now. When it comes to the CEO, letter from the CTO says, and I quote, In this new chapter, Shapeways will enhance and expand our digital manufacturing engine to deliver B2B solutions tailored to custom products, spare parts management, machinery lifespan optimization, and supply chain efficiency. This through strategic partnerships, we aim to bring this solution closer to all our customers, ensuring maximum accessibility and impact. When I hear the term delivered to B2B solutions, as most probably, I'm not sure all of you know, but probably most of you know what B2B stands for, which is business to business. Business to business means they're focusing on larger manufacturing and less of the, you know, the B2C, where at least that's what I'm reading, which is business to customer, which is selling things directly to the customers through the marketplace. But my guess is if ADB will be able to use Shapeways for creating the miniatures, what ADB might have to do is they're gonna have to order those from Shapeways and then sell them themselves. So there might have to be some outlay, unlike previously where the Shapeways was the solution. You customers would go there, purchase this, and then they print it up and boom, here it is. My guess is they might be focusing on the ability to produce larger quantities of a single item. Now, that's the way I am reading it. It's possible that I will be wrong. They did not say exactly what their focus will be, at least neither in the marketplace update nor on the letter from the CEO. So, given that, ADP might not be using Shapeways. They might be using Shapeways. We'll have to wait and see. I know before this. Now, this is dated, the posting on Facebook from Mike James is from December 3rd. Now, unfortunately, Shapeways themselves did not date the blog post. So, no clue when they actually posted this blog post from the CEO. It's this fall because of they mentioned, you know, how they went through the bankruptcy this past summer, you know, the insolvency, that's my term, not their term. They said, there it is. Okay. Yeah. We knew we could save what we could. This is it's a letter from the CDO. They're saying that we have stepped in to resurrect the company and retain the value of the engine we built together with you and our community. This is the person, the new CEO, Marlene Vogelaar. I think I got that right. Oh, they actually have a press release on December 3rd. Oh, okay. And that's, you know, CEO and so forth. Key points. Press release, there's a new management team. Shapeways will continue to offer a wide range of 3D printing technologies and a large suite of materials and post-processing options. While the marketplace and shops are not to be restored because of data loss, solutions for the community are actively being sought. User IP, you know, model data, was owned by the users and not the defunct entity, which is good to know. The management team bought all available IP property owned by the defunct entity, i.e. Shapeways. But then a buyer get access to user owned IP. Okay. And new Avo accounts and model data will be present through the www.shapeways.com going forward. Okay.
Well, I guess the big question is, are they going to still be on hand? Or are they going to go to, like, printing bulk?
Right. Yeah, that's the more important question. Right. I don't care. I don't care. Okay, what are the plans for Shapeways? Our focus Shapeways was creating civilian for the supply for the clients of the defunct organization. Many were left without comparable alternative, and our team worked day and night to retain and welcome back all of these relationships. Shapeways will enhance and expand its digital marketing manufacturing engine to deliver B2B solutions tailored for, you know, as I spit out before about from the CEO. Okay. It doesn't say particularly what's going to happen, other than, as I said, they mentioned B2B, which to me leads me to believe that they're going to focus on manufacturing for businesses, you know, themselves, and not go directly to the consumer. Is that that's how I read it.
Here's the other side of that, is that the business itself is the IP owner.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for instance, ADB has its files that it uploads. They might still do print on demand, but you might have to go and link it through ADB directly instead of through them.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Which, of course, the problem is that means if it depends upon how the Shapeways does it, whether they're gonna have to require a certain number of certain batch level before they'll create, you know, print out the miniatures or what. You know, we have to wait and see on that.
Well, that kind of defeats the whole print on demand aspect of it.
Right. So. Well, to a certain degree, if you can still support small batches, it still doesn't defeat it. It just makes it a little more costly for the businesses. But again,
plus that the business also has to take care of all the shipping and everything.
Right. Understood.
They could end up doing a thing where ADB has to say, okay, we'll buy X number of models in batches of Y, and then we'll repackage them and ship them ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, kind of like when they had a traditional business relationship before with the metal miniatures way back in the
right day. Age of the Gaming, yeah, with Bruce Grawl.
So no matter what, it'll probably just drive the cost up.
True. We'll just have to wait and see.
I just wanted to get something out there that was probably guaranteed.
Oh, understood. And my guess is that ADB, even with this announcement, which just happened 2 days ago, ADB is going to probably continue to do a search for a new manufacturer, which can provide the same kind of manufacturing that ADB's customers, you know, were used to getting, i.e., I need one of this, two of this, three of this. You know.
Oh yeah, that's the optimal for them, because
and ADB doesn't have,
don't have to actually do anything.
Right, and ADB doesn't have
to upload a file.
Right. Exactly. And ADB doesn't have to actually outlay any money up front, which is what I think what ADB is looking for. Well, that it's possible that they won't be able to find that because of Shapeways found, you know, i.e. Shapeways, found out that it's possible that might not be, you know, the money's just not there to support individual printings. You know, they might have to go with more larger batches.
It really all depends on what drove them into bankruptcy and how do they fix that problem. I mean, you know, was it mismanagement of funds? Was it a, you know, corporate embezzlement?
Mm-hmm.
Was it just that, you know, something in their chain suddenly cost too much and they had to keep all their contractual obligations and that drove them down? Who knows? I have no idea. I'd have to read the article on it and do a little research on it. And
yeah, understood.
The thing is hang at the moment.
Yeah, my understanding, and I have to look at this some more, but my understanding is basically that they grew a little too quickly for what the market actually would support. And of course, I'm looking here on the history, Shapeways FAQ, and they have a short timeline history. And the last time they had the final Series E funding, it's 2018, which they raised $30 million with that. And then 2021, a special purpose acquisition company, facility listing on the New York Stock Exchange net proceeds. And then 3 years later, Chapter 7 bankruptcy. And then, wow, that's interesting. Yeah. At the end of July, that's when Manuvo, a subsidiary of WVS International, acquires the assets of Shapeways BV and the Netherlands-based division of the defunct Shapeways Incorporated. So, And then November they complete the acquisition. WBS completes the acquisitions of all available Shapeways assets, including brand and of course the website, i.e. all the IP. This one that people know about that, obviously, ADB has not responded to this, but as I said, I think they're probably still looking. I would definitely, I'm sure they're still looking for a replacement that is like Shapeways. I'm not sure if that's going to be possible. We'll just have to wait and see ADB's reaction to this and so forth. I'm sure they probably know as much as we know, which is if there's the acquisition, it's been completed. That they're working to start it up again, and I'm sure they will. I'm assuming at the very least they do have the previous customer list, meaning mainly for the like eight, the people who own the IP, because that'd be kind of important to get things up and going again. And they'll be contacting them directly, would be my guess. And we probably won't hear anything about this until next year, would be my guess too. At the very earliest.
Yeah, these things happen most of the time, so.
Exactly.
Hopefully they'll get something set up for them.
Agreed. Or find someone that can replace Shapeways, either way.
Well,
Because
there's always this, hey, you know what? Get that extra garage built in the back and throw a couple 3D printers back there and throw a computer in there and get to work. That's always an option if the demand is like, it really depends on what the demand is.
that's true, and
Because I've miniatures can be a fickle thing. Because
agreed.
once you
And
have it, you really don't need more of the same thing usually. Unless you're into Napoleonics, then you need lots of something until you have them all.
True,
And then you
true.
don't need it anymore because you've got them all. So
Exactly.
it's kind of hard. That's kind of like a blessing and a curse of that kind of market. But the print on demand thing, that's just so awesome for customer and business. So I really hope for the sake of everybody that wants that stuff that they can find a good replacement, or that Shapeways learns from their errors and everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Understood. Understood. Yeah, I think the key there when it comes to manufacturing and the print on demand, obviously, is to make it so that the printing is consistently good and you don't have many failures. Because that's the key there. Is
Well, that and basically, who knows? It may have also been just some basic business stuff.
Oh, understood.
That
So,
it really depends on what was the thing that caused them to bleed money.
right. Oh, understood. Understood. But I think that, but the key part of all the manufacturing process is going to be keep the amount number of errors down, because it's just like making microchips. The reason why you want get the bigger wafers and be able to creating the bigger wafers is that the amount of the percentage of waste
Lost.
because of bad chips, because they didn't pass quality control, is lessened a lot of times when you have
Yeah, it's
a couple larger
minimized. It's
wafers.
minimized by bulk.
In which case you'll minimize waste, you minimize cost, because
Actually,
you get no money for bad chips. Yeah, that's something you have to eat yourself.
oh yeah, totally. Was that the big complaint people had with them?
No, I'm just pointing out possibly completely obvious of some things that when it comes to doing a print on demand, when it comes to that kind of product, printers, regular ordinary paper printers, print on demand is easy. The process is very well known. So the printers are very, very, very reliable. Now, 3D printing, reliability, yeah. It's getting up there. And honestly, I've not looked into 3D printing, especially when it comes to the higher end manufacturing ones, which are meant for, not enterprise. Crap, I forgot the term. But anyway, have it so that a business oriented one when it comes to manufacturing different products. But obviously, that's what looks like sounds like Shapeways
Mass
wants to do,
manufacturing.
is they want to focus on, oh, I must have did that. Okay. Ba, ba, ba. Yeah, because it said. Wait. Ba, ba, ba. She said it, didn't she? Yeah, she said it. Right. Deliver B2B solutions tailored to custom products, spare parts management, machinery lifespan optimization, and supply chain efficiency. I keep costs down. That's all that says. Anyhow, just a note for those of you that listen to this podcast before it ends, and I apologize. I can't apologize because they posted on the 25th, and that and then we have, of course, 2 days later we have Thanksgiving, I think. So I didn't have a podcast since they posted this, which is the Grand Giving Thanks sale, which ends on Sunday, December 8th. And that is all. Everything is on the online shopping cart. This is for only for personal sales. Is that there's a test 10% discount will automatically be applied. And if you ask, you can get a sample sprue of 7,000 scale Ryman ships, and there will also be then you'll also enter you into a drawing on the day of your order to see if you get one of four samples. You can only enter once on a particular day, and you only can win once. This sale is only for individuals and not for stores. So I know from now, which is Thursday, December 5th, so 3 days away, and hopefully for those of you who listen to the podcast, you'll be able to hear that or watch the video, which is going to be a little bit later, which should be posted tomorrow on Friday, December 6th. Because after this podcast is over, I upload the podcast and then I go to bed. I deal with the videos these days tomorrow. That's because I'm trying to get to bed earlier. So I'm what I normally would do is do everything that night. I'm getting up earlier now. I'm getting up an hour earlier than I used to. So I need the extra sleep. So that's, yeah, I can save myself half an hour time just by doing the one thing and then going to bed. But my kid's going to sleep in the chair. So I just wanted to mention that. Also, there's something that was mentioned. Again, these are things I probably should have brought up in the news portion. And forgive me for this. Federation Commander, Klingon Border, Graduation, and Klingon Space are now available. They will not ship until they receive the counter sheets at some point after December 10th. Also, for Starfleet Battles, the basic set is now available, but it will not ship until they receive the counter sheet at some point after December 10th. Again, one thing for those of you who have not been following some of the minor drama on the discussion board, and that is That looks like they've got found some manufacturers to do some short run counter sheets, so they're able to get caught up on certain counter sheets with these short runs, which won't cost them an arm and a leg, just an arm. So they'll be, instead of waiting for this big huge pile, which then they're going to print out, manufacture, and they're going to be shipped, and they're going to have to, not break them down, but make sure, obviously, QA, quality control, not QA, it's QC, about those and get those going. But that's one thing they found someone to actually help them out with, short run counters, counter runs, counter sheet runs. That's good to hear. And now actually, ADV is talking about short run special counter sheets. A counter sheet, right there. This is from November 22nd. A counter sheet for Borak, Peladon, Juggernaut, and the Kozians and Polar Alliance modules C3A. This was built into the reprint of the C3 sheet using extra four counters, tournament counter sheets, and alternate colors for the same Empire's duels. Which is, for those of you who've ever actually played tournaments, it's always good to, on real life, not online, but in real life, it's always nice to have tournament counter sheets that have alternate colors when you have the mirror scenario where you're facing the same ship that you're flying, which is always interesting, I'd say.
I say make them just write down where they're at the entire time.
Oh, don't get me started
Get
on that.
really old school about it.
Oh, you want to, but I'm not sure, Doug, if you ever ran into this with the original black boards, the black sheets, that were used for playing SFB, and then you have what'd you put on them? Black Klingon counters. And then you have natural cloaking. Look her. Where in the heck did that ship? The one, you mean the one that's sitting, that's right beside you? Uh-oh. Yep. I remember, I was so happy when they started creating ones that actually have, it's more a star pattern on the back, but also it's blue. It's a blue in it, so the Klingon counters actually would stand out more. I was really happy when that happened, because Lord knows I would play against a lot of Klingons. So,
Were you playing Hydran back then or just Andromeda?
and just Andromeda. Way back in the day, back in college. The person who liked to play the Hydrans was my friend Dan Smith. He liked playing the Hydrans. I forget what Paul Keck. I forget what he played. I know it was Andromeda. I was the only person playing Andromeda, and I was playing them incorrectly too. It wasn't until later on I realized that I was playing the PA panels completely wrong. Which was interesting. I had a more powerful version of the PA panels, because the way I played
Did it
PA
cut
panels,
into a winning streak?
I played PA panels. So basically, you could move the as much energy as you wanted to between the panels between turns.
Oopsie.
And
So that would explain a lot of the winning right there, huh?
I didn't understand the rules that well. I It, trust me, it didn't help me to win. I forget, because that's, remember, the one bad thing about that I didn't understand the panel dump. And since I didn't understand the panel dump, I didn't understand how to quickly get all that energy into my batteries. So the only amount of batteries, energy I get into my batteries was the end between turns. That's the only way I knew how to get energy into the batteries was between turns. So I would end up slowing down quite a bit. Oh, you don't talk about slowing. You want to slow a drowning ship down? Have a mothership. Have all of the satellite ships inside it, and then do the surprise maneuver. You know, which is the mothership comes flying in to the opposing fleet, and then goes, pop, there they are. There's a problem. The biggest issue with that is it takes so much energy to do that. When it comes to the transporters, they'll suck your batteries dry so fast, and so you couldn't go nearly as fast as you wanted to go. You'd be going like speed 15, you know, which was annoying. It's like you want to be going like speed 20 or 24, you know, but no. I still brings a smile to my face every single time I think about when I was playing the Andromedans for one of the campaigns on SFB Online. And what I did was that for the Andromedans, for their scout ship, which was an eel. What I did is I had the mothership use the one and only tractor beam that it had, tractor the eel, and have it so that all the energy that the eel produced could then be put towards its four special sensors. So it had all that, had much more energy to do all of that, which was, I think, a great benefit. The only issue, obviously, was that the mothership slowed down a bit because it was one and two thirds. I forget if the eel is, if that's a two thirds or a 5/6. 5/6. Forget what size that was. I want to say that actually it was more of a cobra size when it comes to eel, or was that the one that was python size? It's been a while.
I have a question.
Yes,
I have a question for you.
Go.
I was talking to Barry the other day, and I couldn't remember the name of the thing you were going to do at Gamers.
Oh, you mean Call to Arms?
Was, red. Okay.
That was the one thing I really wanted to do, is actually learn Call to Arms and play the pieces, and probably bring some of the minis that I have and learn it that way, you know, with the miniatures. Which would be interesting. I have another thing, which is, I'm not sure.
Are the minis painted SFB miniatures?
Yes. I've got, boy, you haven't seen them for a while because I haven't been bringing them for a long time, which is way back when in Gamers, I used to bring the whole set, which Aaron Staley painted for me,
which I remember.
Yeah, for all of the tournament ships.
And that was awesome.
Yeah, and I still have them. This is that I haven't brought them for a while. There is one other possibility, but I'm debating on that one. I know you might like it, but I'm not sure that there'd be enough interest.
What?
A cribbage tournament?
Eh.
As I said, I didn't think there'd be much interest.
I kind of agree with you. I don't think there would be that much. I mean, you could probably get a game or two in with Mike and I.
Right. But
that is something I've considered doing. And it's like, I think about some of the legal aspects of it. And doing like card tournament type things.
Mm-hmm.
And how that kind of like, it comes down to like the casino laws.
Yeah, but
doing card for like,
but we're not prizes. Playing. But
I know, and it's something I've gone over before.
Right, because okay, it might be a prize, but it wouldn't be. But as long as it's not a money prize.
Yeah, But the real question is the time sink into it.
Right.
It's like a reason that Mike and I might be interested in like a game or two versus a tournament is that we actually play on a fairly regular weekly basis.
Right.
So it's, you know, not like we're coming to gamers just to get that particular fix in.
Right.
So there's that. And I don't know. I have never really seen or outreached to try and find like a cribbage community in the area here, so to speak. It's like occasionally I meet somebody that plays cribbage.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just kind of an odd thing. Plus, you know, I think the main focus is like a lot of like board games and tabletop games that, but we haven't really had a large interest in the card stuff. I mean, Mike's had his card table set up with the medieval game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but we just don't have a lot of like foot traffic. A lot of our people that come to the thing are repeat people who are coming there to basically do particular specific things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, but we, you know, we don't have much in the way of like card players coming there to play cards, so to speak. It's just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we did try. It's like I tried to do like you were saying, a non cash prize but substantial prize poker tournament during the early first few times that we ran the convention. And it's like, and I knew a lot of people that play poker, and it's like the number of people that came out for that, even though the prize was like, hey, here's a full set that would cost you X dollars to buy online, was like, and a nice set at that. It was like not worth the time and effort to try and set that particular thing up.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I just don't see the benefit for the event.
Oh, understood. Now, doing a quick check at the local cribbage clubs on the cribbage.org site. They're all in, they're closer to Philadelphia. They're one in Elkins Park, which is right above Philadelphia, one in King of Prussia, and another one in Media, which is right near King of Prussia. Let me see. One in Elkins Park meets on Wednesdays at 6:30. The one in Media, Mondays at 5:30, September through May. And King of Prussia is second and fourth Tuesdays of the month at 6 p.m. And they play all year round. The one in Media is called Gold Cribbage Club, and the Mid-Atlantic Cribbage Club is the one in Elkins. King of Prussia Cribbage Club is the one in King of Prussia. There's six game clubs, whatever that means. I'm not familiar with cribbage terminology when it comes to clubs. So. Is that... Let you know that I did a quick look-see.
Thank you.
No problem. Was there a particular topic you want? You said you had a topic that we might want to discuss.
Well, there was the gamers thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a significant part of it. I was thinking of maybe a potential topic for another episode, not one to start this late
right
in this episode,
right,
but kind of a Maybe a rundown of the history of like ADB and SFB, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Dedicate like a whole episode to that.
Are you talking about the production of the product or the history within the product?
I would say the Oh, hold on a second. I'm just getting beaten half to death here.
Omaha is beating you?
No. I was running around in WoW.
Oh, okay. So you're playing a while at the same time you're on the podcast.
As I'm talking to you, yeah. And basically we couldn't afford the upgrade yet because of, family of four money issues all frickin' year long. And when they did the new expansion back in August, literally like a few days before my birthday in August, we couldn't afford that. But they added 10 levels to the game. And I'm running around at max level for the old expansion, and somebody who's max level for the new expansion just like bushwhacked me and beat the snot out of me.
It happens. It happens. Did Erica finally get her paycheck? I saw her post on Facebook going, yeah. Answer that question is no. Anyhow. Yeah, so obviously hopefully we can get miniatures one way, either whether it's Shapeways or not Shapeways in the near future from A to B. I know that's one thing that currently, if you want to actually though, you can. Let me just double check in them. Yeah, I'm pretty confident. Pretty confident. I'm hoping. Da-da-da. Seeing if they. I wonder if they still have some of the old ones.
What's that?
Most of the ships are sold as unpaid pewter. Yeah, the pewter ones.
No idea. So anyway, a friend of mine was talking to me in Facebook through a message service about he was happy to play some SFB with somebody in Europe because his wife is stationed over there and that's where they're at now. And this is a guy that I played with back when I was at Fort Hood in the 90s. And he was saying he was kind of doing he was doing some of the song and dance about how he wondering why SFB wasn't much bigger and why it was seemed like a dead game and this, that, and the other. And I was telling him, well, it's not really dead if you're still playing it. There's still a community of people. We have a few people that come out to gamers. There's Facebook groups out there you can talk to. You can go on the SFB board. So he actually, it started off with him asking me about if I knew where the Star List was, if it was still being published or not. And
Well, you have to,
I told him,
request people nearby you, yeah.
yeah, and we had a little back and forth in the messaging about it, and I thought maybe it would be good to do like a kind of a synopsis of where the game came from, where it's gone, some of the bumps along the way, like the whole thing about like 9 or 10 years of lawfare, and and exactly what kind of business it is, how the size and scope of it, so to speak, because it's just one of those things to to try to explain to them about how the company is kind of been about pretty close to about the same the whole time I've seen it.
Yeah.
Size wise and reach wise and, you know, where it had its peak and then when it declined. So, and the fact that it's still there is kind of actually amazing in its own way.
Agreed. Agreed.
But because it's, I would describe it more of a passion project than a full blown business model thing. So,
right.
There's that. So,
agreed.
I was just thinking that might be a nice thing to dedicate a whole episode to if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think that would be great. I definitely would want to do a little more research because of part of the history of Starfleet battles, of course, is what happened after Starfleet battles. You know, the whole of bringing in Federation Commander, the whole thing of expanding to other gaming engines. Of course, then there's, you know, the other one, like Prime Directive, which originally was an actual RPG product produced by ADB. And then they later on moved it from just their own engine and to GURPS, PD-20, PD-20 Modern. I think actually they...
Well, yeah, they used the D20 engine.
Right, and I think they had a D6 version at some point.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, you get the idea of what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
Rather than trying to go there now because it's like almost 10:30.
Right. Agreed. And I definitely would prefer to. And also, I'd want to gather up a little bit about the history itself of not just SFB, but the other products related to SFB, obviously starting with SFB itself, but the whole idea of some of the other products that came along after, you know, had SFB just being added on to when it comes to different modules, the different different editions of SFB. Lord knows if you ever actually looked at the original SFB, the original, and read the rule for the original SFB, it's quite a bit different in the game than you currently have.
Yeah.
Which is...
And there's also the whole... Yeah, because that you go way back to the Pocket Edition.
Right, right, exactly.
And also, I remember buying a bunch of those Pocket games when I was a kid. And when I was first in the military back in the early 80s. And the ADB thing actually had more games than just Starfleet Battles at the time.
Yep, yep. We have Starfire there.
They had a few other pocket games.
Mm-hmm.
He also has his Vietnam game too. So there was like a few different things, and then the focus became SFB.
Mm-hmm.
The primary focus.
Right, and then we had the whole issue with Task Force games and all that kind of thing. So,
yeah. And then you also had the whole when Paramount bought all the IP rights from the original holder and made the movie and decided they didn't want Cole to be in business anymore. Or at least not in the business of Star Trek stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah. And come to find
out that they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, and surprise, you guys are host, and you just
because we didn't a decade
of lawfare and money down the drain for nothing.
Yeah,
and the only thing that did was basically put a big emperor on the development of the, you know, the SFU. So there's that. So yeah, I was just thinking that might be a good one to put to a whole episode.
Oh yeah. Oh,
maybe more than one.
Possibly more than one. Yep.
So.
But as I said, you know, I'd want to collect some more historical information about how things went and putting it all together. Now, I was going to say as a presentation, but that's not really one presentation. One has more of a discussion, because I'm sure everyone has input, because as you said yourself, you've been playing SFB, you've been familiar with SFB for years, since back in the 80s, which is basically when I got introduced to it, which was in 84 or 85, is when I was introduced. And that was, I think you could get like the Designer's Edition, but my group was more interested in the Commander's Edition. That point, when you had the individual volumes, volume one, volume two, volume three, and then you have different modules that you could buy in addition to that, you know.
I started off back in late 83 into 84. One of my gaming friends at Fort Hood introduced me to it. And the weird thing is, I didn't really get into it that much at the time. I started to get into it more when I went home from the Army, because my gaming focus became more war game oriented and D&D oriented. Like, it was kind of split between the two. But I didn't really get into playing SFB other than being introduced to it until I met some people that played it at home.
Right.
You know, back in Harrisburg. And thought, okay, I'll give it a shot with, like, the ship thing. As opposed to the, here's a star base. You're going to learn how to play the game. Oh, right. That sucked. But, I learned how not to teach somebody that. And then I learned how to teach somebody that. And, like, when I went back in the Army on my second term, you know, by then I was able to teach somebody without picking up the rule book and just walking them through how to play the game and all that. Taught a few people to play. And I met Strain during the second army turn. All that. That's a whole other topic. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a very fascinating thing to look at. So.
Agreed.
Just a thought. I think it would be a good thing for you to research after you finish giving me your list of what you're going to do for gamers.
Yep. We'll do. It shouldn't be hard to do. I just have to sit down and decide.
Okay. Just let me know. Send me a little text in Facebook and just tell me what you want and when you want it scheduled for.
Okay, we'll do.
And also, if you want to pop down some weekend, that would be fine too.
Understood.
Because there's something like about eight to 10 weeks right now between now and gamers.
Understood. Now, just to let you know. My work is it's coming up on our yearly break, because we shut down between Christmas and New Year's at my work.
Okay.
Which is always lovely. And I talked to my wife and she said, there's two other days, between the New Year and the weekend. Why'd you take those off too? I'm taking those off too. So.
I think Barry is jonesing for a game day.
Oh, I know he is. the question's gonna be, obviously, which is, will he be around?
Yeah, that is kind of the question. But you know what? Even he gets breaks from his job.
So. Oh, I know. I'm assuming that he will be home around Christmas.
Christmas, New Year's Eve, and then you got just the randomness of, when and where he has to go wherever.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And hopefully
That's
he's not on call and
trapped with.
gets called out of town. Like, oh, they're gonna fly out tonight to I don't know, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I don't know. Well,
I knew you
you
were
just
coming out here,
enjoy
so I would point it
retirement.
out and say, here's the thing. What?
Aegis in the Twitch. He said he just retired early, and now every week is Christmas break, and playing us it'd be at least twice a month, which is always awesome.
Nice.
Thanks for the update, Dave. Lions 21, 24, Green Bay 21, 5 minutes left in the third. They're closer now. Hey, listen, not Green Bay is not being completely wiped. Oh, looks like they actually won't be there actually ahead. Let's try that again. Come on, Green Bay. Let's try it again. Anyway, I don't know that much about Green Bay. I don't want the Lions to win. So anyhow, we'll wrap up there. Dunk, it's always been a pleasure talking to you and always having you around.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay. Well, you have a good night. So, had a nice little discussion there about, of course, miniatures and Shapeways and what Shapeways is going to be doing. As I said, as I read it sounds like they're going to focus on business to business and less business to customer or consumer. So we might not see Shapeways, the marketplace they had previously. We'll just have to wait and see. Obviously, ADB, no matter what, ADB, I'm sure, is going to look for, if Shapeways comes back, have another place to go to, because I'm sure they don't want this happening ever again, where basically all sale of miniatures stop dead. You know, because I really wish I could have bought some miniatures before Shapeways went out of business. You know, it's like bad timing. Anyhow, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.